Really, I must repeat myself. I'm limitedly grateful that you are all here. Thank you for making the journeys which you have made. Thank you for making the determination or decision in your heart to spend the change of the year in the association of devotees. You must all be very serious Vaishnavas to come in the midst of the winter here to this wonderful place at the lotus feet of our beloved deity Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. They look very small, but they are very big. I really feel very grateful to be able to assist you in some ways during this Sangha Mela by presenting to you something which I have presented already in the Govardhan retreat in Vrindavan, that is the a pastime of Krishna, which is, let me say, when you go through it and you hear it every day, you will also become convinced that Krishna is the only shelter really in your life. It's this pastime which I will narrate to you for the first time really in the classical way of how Krishna Katha was narrated in our tradition. We will do a few things. This pastime is spiritual therapy really. It will attract us, not push us, it will pull us with the Akashani Shakti of Krishna into the understanding of taking shelter. And once we know how to take shelter and where to take shelter, our life is all right, it's perfect. But before talking a little bit to warm you up for this, or prepare you for this Krishna Katha, I wanted to speak about Sangha, or the idea of associating with devotees. On the 24th of December, I always visit the church. I'm meeting in the church a few people who are important to my life and who could do something wonderful in Krishna consciousness. So this year I was again the church. I met always a few people afterwards. And I was very interested to hear what will a Christian priest tell to the people who come maybe once a year into the church. They don't hear lectures like we, you know, and overdoses often. That is, I want to say, more than we digest. But no, they hear maybe once a week, once a year, a 10-minute lecture. That's about as long as they can go before they lose. These people who are not accustomed to hear the philosophy. And I was really interested. And it was nothing new or nothing which touched me very particularly, and I was already switching off when all of a sudden the priest said something which really touched me. He said, in order to find God, we need points of orientation. In German language, Gott zu finden, brauchen wir Anhaltspunkte. Christmas. You know, because at the moment he's very far away from us. Our mind can't think of him without the help of Scripture. Our eyes can't see him. He's outside of our perception. So in order to find him, we need to have first a point which is in our perception. And he gave the example of, you know, according to Christian mythology, Jesus was born at the time when the emperor wanted to count how many people were in his country. It's called, in German, Volkszählung. Remember when I was small, we had this also in Germany. Everyone who was a human being had to be counted at the special offices. So there was this office, I forgot, was it Jerusalem or Bethlehem, somewhere. Bethlehem, thank you. And the parents of Jesus also showed up there. And then all of a sudden, the labor came to Maria, the mother, and because everything was so absolutely overcrowded with people who showed up to be counted by the emperor's offices, there was no place really to give birth to the child. And in there, it was an emergency, but they did find a barn. And inside the barn, the birth was done. Now, some kings in another country had heard the ancient prophecy that Jesus would take his birth, and he would be the one who would permanently change the life of millions of people by preaching something like dharma, religiosity. So they had heard this and they wanted to find him. But in order to find someone who is hidden, you do need some Anhaltspunkt, some point of orientation. Where should they go? Should they go left or should they go right? Or straight forward or backward or east or north? How would they find this personality who had just appeared and who would change the face of the earth? They wanted to see him and pay their homage. And according to the ancient prophecy, there was such a point of orientation. It was a certain star who would not move. And the prophecy said, you just walk towards the star, and as long as you walk towards the star, you will come closer and closer until you will find him. There was even no information that he is in the barn, in einer Scheune. So they did this and they found him and they gave the presents. So this, you know, I think most of you, or some of you who are from the Christian background, they remember this. So I was listening to this, and as the priest kept on explaining the ancient story or narration, I was thinking, what is the point of orientation in my life, which I just have to follow, and then I will find God. I was thinking like this. I was translating it. And it is amazing that the first thing which came up was the association of devotees. If I'm in the association of devotees, I will find God. I had this faith or this conviction. It was something which was not just blind faith, but it was something I had experienced in my life as a devotee. just a few, maybe 1 week ago, you know, we have this Govardhan and Vasana retreats, where there are one very nice attendance. We had this time 400 devotees, even a few from Germany came. I was happy to see that also German devotees have come out of the hiding. And we all felt in these two retreats in the Holy Dham that really Krishna had appeared in our lives. It was a profound experience which many of us shared with each other. We all felt that oh yes, in the association of devotees, we can find God. We had felt that. And I had certainly also felt that. It was unexpected, but there were a few devotees had profound experiences of God realizations, and it was very, very nice. And I wish for all of you that this Sangha Mela festival will be something like a point in your life which will help you to find Krishna, the way he is pleased to reveal himself at this stage of your spiritual life. I think we should not expect to see him in this or that way, but we should leave it open to him how he will show himself, either maybe by a super soul who gives all the required knowledge through the heart to us. That would be a way where Krishna shows himself. He becomes active as the well-wisher in the heart. And you know this verse, Shrimvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyanta Sto Yabhadrani Vidonoti Suritsatam, that he comes there in your heart and he destroys your obstacles which are still giving trouble in your spiritual life. I hope he will show, for instance, in such a way as we are doing the Sangha Mela festival, we will do a lot of Srinvata Svakata Krishna. We will hear a lot about Krishna. Especially in my classes, it will be pure Krishna Katha. I hope that he will become activated in your heart and do what is promised in the Bhagavatam, that is, destroy your obstacles, crash, so that you can move forward. Or he might show himself, be pleased to show himself during a kirtan, where all of a sudden the sweetness of the names overwhelms you. You know, when I was reading Prabhupada as commentary, I said, I'll read this to the devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you know, was, after his initiation, simply chanting. And one day he came to his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, and said to him, I don't really know what is happening with me. I feel so super ecstatic all the time. And he said, my dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Ma mantra. And Prabhupada then said that this is good. This is what every one of us should aspire for. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays in his Shikshastaka. Prayer. Yuga itam nimeshena shakshusha pravisha itam shunya itam jagat savam govinda virahena me. O Govinda, I feel your separation. And I'm considering a short moment to be like 12 long years or even more. I'm moved. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. And I'm feeling all vacant. Vacant means empty. I'm so empty in the world, in your absence. Now Prabhupada says, this is the aspiration of a devotee. That while he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, his eyes will fill with tears. His voice will falter and his heart throb. Bang, 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 bang. These are good signs in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In ecstasy, one should feel that the entire world is vacant, empty, so empty, without the presence of Govinda. This is a good sign, a sign of separation from Govinda. And then he talks to all of us, what we are at the moment. In material life, we are all separated from Govinda and are so absorbed in our material sense gratification. Therefore, when one comes to his senses on the spiritual platform, he becomes so eager to meet Govinda that without Govinda, the entire world becomes a vacant place. So he says, this is the aspiration, and I hope that while we chant, we have made an effort to have one for a long, long kirtan. We will sail into the new year on the good ship of Harinam. We have even the presence of a kirtaniya who is very, will surprise us entirely. He's very small in physical size, but very huge in voice size. You will hear it was a surprise. Maybe something will happen like this to you. The holy name. Maybe while you have a darshan, you will all of a sudden notice, whoops, there's Krishna on the altar. Blindness will go for a moment. In whatever way Krishna pleases to see him, to show himself, he will do so because you have come to a point of entry into the spiritual life. You've come to a point where you can go deeper, and that is the Sangha of devotees. Krishna comes when his devotees gather together. He comes and he stays there. First he stands there. Tishtami means he stands there. Meaning maybe he just inspects the place. Will I stay there or will I just quickly make a polite visit and then go? When he sees that the devotees are very careful, he sits down in their hearts. This is what kirtan is. First, Krishna just shows a little of his presence, and if he is satisfied by the kirtan, you know, it may be just a momentary feeling that of his presence, but if he's pleased, he will sit in the heart or even lie down. That means he will not go so soon, you know. This is all described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur like this. So, in whatever way you have come to a point of entry, the Sangha of like-minded devotees, and this will be an orientation point for you where you can find Krishna. In some ways he promises like this. So, badhai ho, all the best for you. So that you can use the Sangha. Use it wisely. Try to serve the devotees while you're here. When your mind, which is after all a Western mind, becomes critical and offensive, don't pay attention. No, this is just the stink of the mind. Stink. And then it's gone like the stink on your chair when you sit too long. It comes and it goes. It's very important to think like this. Let me not pay attention too much to the ever morose material mind, which always wants to find fault. But just see, this is my orientation point, my entry point, whereby I can find God. Let me use my time in Goloka Dham. This is the name of this place, Goloka Dham. Let us use it properly. Let us use it in a maximum way, so that I will go here with deep sanskaras, spiritual sanskaras, deep impressions, which will last through the year and keep me alive spiritually through the coming weeks and so on. Second point is ashraya. Taking shelter. This is what is the point of bhakti, or the point of devotion, is to find the ashraya tattva and to take ashraya as in sharanagati way. Gati means go, and sharan means shelter. We go to the shelter. This is sharanagati. This is a very... This was something which was very, very much in the mind of Krishna when he appeared in Vrindavan. You know, when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan amongst the villagers, the Brajbasis, who would give him all their hearts in deep love, when he appeared, these Brajbasis were worshipping Indra, Shiva, like it was done in the ancient times. Pay your obeisances to the powerful regents of the universe, the devatas, who control the fate of all of us. So they were worshipping different devatas, but Krishna wanted to make a point that I have appeared, why do you worship all these others and me only a little bit, or me also? You should worship exclusively me. And then Krishna made a point, a very unforgettable point. There was this yearly Indra Yagya where his people were sacrificing to Indra. And Krishna decided, to take this Yagya and that it was used to worship him alone. We can just see him in our mind's eye. Small, he's 7 years and 14 days old, And he is dressed in a beautiful turban from where the locks are coming. His face smiles and his eyes are dancing. they're not steady. He's there before his father. He has a bluish body and a golden dhoti. He loves his father very much and says, "What, Yagya, are you doing there?" As if he wouldn't know. Nanda Maharaj explains in great detail the necessity of worshipping Indra to get the rain so that there is enough food for the cows. You know, and in a very beautiful and clever way, Krishna just convinces his father, no, you should give this to Giriraj, to Govardhan. And the cowherd boys follow him. But then Indra hears about it from his spies and decides he would take revenge. And he sends all these clouds which I used to destroy the whole universe on a little place. Vrindavan. It was like a really massive attack. Some attack of clouds, my God, they can just destroy the whole universe. So then the Brajbasis turned to Krishna. They said, "You told us to worship Giriraj now. You are the one who do this now. You, please, you need to protect us." Krishna, very small, 7 years, 15, 14 days old. At the time when he hears the Brajbasis want him to protect them, he's at the veranda of his father's house in Nandagram. And he says, "All right, I told them to do this. Now I have to protect them. They're my own people. They're not my servants in Vaikuntha. They are not the monkey soldiers who came when I was Ram. They are my own people." So Krishna runs from the terrace to Giriraj. While he runs, one of his potency, I will tell you in a few days the name of this potency, comes and just clears the sky for a moment. There are no clouds at this moment, so that not even a drop of rain can fall on Krishna's turban. He wants to come dry, you know. The sky is clear. Krishna used his potency, but he wanted to make a point. So worship Giriraj. He wanted to make this point. So he runs to Giriraj, picks him up, uses him as a huge umbrella to protect his people, and holds him with his little finger like this. This is a mudra for worship. He points, "Worship him. He's my devotee. You know, he's the best devotee. Worship him. This is how you get all the protection you need." And this way, he is. Many things tomorrow you will hear. But his point is, take shelter. Don't take shelter here and there and everywhere. Take shelter in my instruction. I will protect you. Take shelter in me. This is what he wants to show the Brajbasis. And this is what he wants to show all of us. And this is the one point. If we can learn this, my dear devotees, our life will be a different one. It will be what we experience in Vrindavan, and we call it the Braj flow. Do you know what is the Braj flow? You go in Vrindavan and you don't plan anything. You just plan to chant Krishna's name, to serve Krishna, and all of a sudden you see how miracles happen in your life, how you meet these people, how you experience this, how this desire of you gets fulfilled in an almost miraculous way. And how one thing after the other happens. You're not actually acting. You're not any longer endeavoring very hard. You just do what you always do to serve Krishna. And all of a sudden Krishna carries you. You are not carrying yourself, but Krishna carries you and leads you. This can be experienced in Krishna's holy Dham, and it can be experienced by everyone who knows how to take shelter under Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. So starting from tomorrow, we will hear about how to do this. We will deal with our doubts. Oh, what if I surrender and no one is there? If I knock at the door after traveling 2,000 light years and no one opens, you know. We will hear different things according to the commentaries of the acharyas. So I wish you that you can make best use of your time here. I wish that you enter the flow of the Sangha Mela. It will be really ecstatic. I believe Gaurahari has given us already an orientation, or orientation is still coming. Coming. Actually, I see Bhagavad Dharma getting ready. I will stop here, but repeat my 2 points. And we need an entry point or an orientation point so that we can find the Lord. And I think this is Sadhu Sangha. The scriptures say Sadhu Sangha gives us the matihi, the inclination back, inclination, the intention, the desire back to serve Krishna. And the second point I wanted to make is Krishna wants his devotees to take shelter at his lotus feet only. And he showed this during the Govardhan Leela by giving an instruction and protecting his devotees from the scorn, the deadly anger of Indra even. So I hope we will all learn to take shelter and become ecstatic Vaishnavas. It is the aspiration of a devotee that while he chants the Hare Krishna mantra, his eyes will fill with tears, his voice falter, and his heart throb. This means he has met Krishna in the holy name. That is the desire to meet Krishna.